This is Revival X with John Burton.
All right, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, God, you're teaching us how to pray with authority. You're teaching us, you're equipping us, God, as a revival team, a revival family, a revival army. Lord, I pray that you would show us, God, what it is, Lord, to have an effective, powerful, incredible, just addictive, joyful life of prayer. Lord, that we would intercede, that we would cry out for others, Lord, that we would stand in the gap. I pray that there would be miracles, there would be testimonies, things would happen, Lord, as we pray. God, that we wouldn't just live this life of just, now I lay me down to sleep and wondering what's going to happen when we ask you for things, but that we would pray with authority. We would pray with strength. We would pray with conviction. Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, I bless you. And everybody said amen. All right, listen. I shared this with the core team, but this hit me this afternoon as I was preparing, and it's very simple. You cannot use Jesus as an additive to your life, as a supplement, as seasoning. You can't use Jesus. You can't get saved. You can't do the church thing just to make your life better. You can't. It just won't work. You will be miserable. You'll fail. You'll have little flashes of satisfaction, and that's about it, because that's not how Christianity works. The only way that this works, the only way the power comes, the only way the anointing comes, the only way the freedom comes, the only way that demons can come out when you start talking to them, the only way that you can take dominion, that you can take the land, that you can advance, the only way you can do these things is if you have authentically, legitimately surrendered all. I'm saying everything. So now, every waking moment of your life is Jesus. It's not using Jesus to get more money, not using Jesus to find some friends or to find a good church family, not using Jesus to do any of that. You'll be miserable. I'll tell you, if that's what you have been doing, you are currently miserable. You are right now. You're miserable. I can tell. Just kidding. I don't know. Is it any of you? I don't know. We've been really good in churches at putting on the smiles. So some of y'all, I don't know, you could be miserable and I don't know. But the truth is, if you don't surrender off, don't take up your cross, if you don't sign up for martyrdom, Jesus, you can kill me. Jesus is not about me. It's about you. It's not about having a nice, happy life. It's about you. If you don't get to that place, you're going to struggle. And a year from now, you come back to me. You probably won't actually, but you could come back to me and say, yep, John, you're right. I've been miserable ever since. I've had a lot of people actually tell me that. Lots of people. They come up to me and they're like, I should have done what you said. I should have gone all in. Shouldn't have played games. I shouldn't have dabbled with things I shouldn't have dabbled with. I should have gone all in. I should have been praying on fire. I should have been praying in the spirit. I should have been doing that. I should have been. And because I didn't, the whole last year or 10 years or 20 years of my life has been miserable. We can't allow ourselves to get to that place. We need to be alive and vibrant and free. So this series that we're in, this is tonight's portion of it, living a wildly prophetic life. But this it's a series. The series is about praying with authority. Let me just give you a really, really quick recap. Number one, we've talked about all of this. Number one, in order to have an effective life of prayer, you got to understand your assignment. You got to understand your assignment. If you're just kind of going day to day, just kind of winging it, just kind of winging your life, not knowing what you're doing, where you're going, it's not going to work. You need to know your assignment. Why are you here? Why were you born? What is your assignment? What is God calling you to do? What do you wake up in the night just burning about? You know, you've got to get to that place. You may not be there now, but you got to get there. God will show you. Number two, understand your authority. If you don't understand your authority, you're hopeless. You don't even know if you're going to be able to win or not. You don't know if you're going to be able to have your prayers answered or not. You don't know. You have no idea. You don't know if the devil has to stop bothering you or not. You don't know. You have to know your authority. Number three, pray in tongues a lot, all the time. Pray in tongues. Look at Ephesians 6. It's one of the pieces of armor, if you will, that's not talked about a whole lot. Look at Ephesians 6. I think it's 18. You can check it out, that we need to be praying in the Spirit. Number four, this is how we have an effective life of prayer. We declare scripture. So we, as we're praying, we walk around, we declare the word of God, we believe the word of God, we enforce the word of God. And then number five is we need to know what God's will is. What does he want us to do? What's his will? Similar to what our assignment is, but it's a little more broad. What is his will? When we get into the word of God, we can find out a lot of what his will is. And so here we go, number six. Number six, we're going to start talking about discovering the prophetic, living a wildfire prophetic life. Let me read this to you. The moment we slow our dive into the deep, the second we decide to hang out in the outer courts instead of the Holy of Holies, because we presume such a lifestyle is sufficient for an authentic Christian life, is the moment our lives are at eternal risk. Okay? We don't get the choice. It's not multiple choice. Do you want to live in the outer courts and kind of live a casual Christian life? Do you want to go deep? You want to go to the Holy of Holies? Where do you want to? We don't get to choose. We don't get the option. As followers of Jesus, we've got to go deep. We've got to go really deep. There was a time I offended a bunch of pastors, and I didn't realize I was going to do that. I was learning. And I was at a pastor's meeting in Detroit, and I was kind of the new guy, never been to this pastor's meeting before, and I shared a prophetic word, and little did I know, there was all sorts of people in there that didn't even believe in prophetic words and all sorts of things like that, but I shared this prophetic word, very, very simple, and I said, I saw people at the beach. I saw people on the beach, playing on the beach, sandcastles, just kind of chilling, kind of having a good time. Then I saw other people going, they're like waist deep, and they're starting swimming, and they just keep looking back at the beach, and they want so desperately to go deeper. They want to go further. They want to go deeper. And I saw a pastor standing with one foot on the beach and one foot in the water. And he couldn't go into the deep because he didn't want to leave the people in the sand. He thought he would just stay right here. But the problem is the people going deep couldn't go deep because he refused to leave those who were playing games. And I shared that. I didn't make one new friend that day. I was shocked. No Facebook friends or anything. And we can't do that. I'll tell you right now. Amy's not here. Good. She'll correct me. She'll be like, John, you need to be nicer. Listen, I love you. I love you. And I love you. And I love you. I love you. I love you so much. It's deep. Super deep. I'm for real. I love you. If you refuse, you develop a pattern of life where you refuse to follow us into the deep, I'll leave you. Well, wait a minute. Aren't you supposed to go after leave the 99 and go get the one? That's a totally different story. That's if someone wanders off, of course you do that. I'm talking, if you're playing games and you have made a decision, I'm going to keep playing games. I'm not going to go deep. I'm not going with you. You've got to be kidding if I'm going to violate my call to lead everybody else into the depths just so I can play with you on the sand. I'm not going to do it. Is that making sense? We can't do that. We can't develop anything like that. We have to go deep, and we've got to do it together. I can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. We've got to do it together. Amen? And if you're playing on the sand, I'll still love you. And I'll pray for you, but we've got to keep moving. We've got to keep moving. Let me read this by someone named Kenan Bridges. If we desire to see change and transformation in our lives, we must become people of consistent, persistent prayer. Whatever we agree with, this is huge, whatever we agree with becomes the governing force of our existence. Once we agree with God, we give his presence, power, and promises permission to dominate our lives. That's a great reason to develop a prayer life. All of a sudden, all the promises that you read about, hope you read about in the Bible, the ones that are not coming true, boom, boom, boomity boom, they start coming true. You're like, wow, wow, it's real. That's real. It's for real. It's legit. It's real. Wow, look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. A real life healing. I've just heard of such things. Wow. Someone getting baptized in fire and they're praying in tongues. Whoa, cool. Really? Demons are coming out? Just because I'm standing in authority and I'm praying, really? That's it. See, all of this stuff starts happening when you have a powerful life of prayer. Again, if you are just adding prayer to your life to make it better, you will stop praying almost immediately. It doesn't work that way. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. Let me read this to you by Jennifer. How do you say her name? Yves, maybe? Christians who do not pray or do not make an effort to pray, here we go, as a church community, forfeit their authority. Not realizing they are the reason, oh, this is hardcore. Not realizing they are the reason many people remain hell chained in their communities with no other means of deliverance. This is a sobering thought. Come on, church, it's time to pray, and it's time to pray unceasingly. Everywhere you walk, do it. Go everywhere you walk. I was in Silver Dollar City today. I'm there all the time. Or you could be walking down the street or go at a shopping center. Everywhere you look, try to see with spiritual eyes. If you could see with spiritual eyes, you would see demons hovering over almost everybody. You would see it. They're out to kill. They're out to steal. They're out to destroy. They hate. You would see them. You would see them attacking. You would see them whispering in people's ears. I mean, freak you out. I mean, that would make a day at Silver Dollar City all the whole heck different. I mean, it's like you just start, you seeing it. Just everywhere, just demons speaking, speaking, speaking. It's real. This isn't fantasy. This is real. I'll tell you this. Right now in this anointed room, there are more than likely demons right now, literally in this room, speaking to some of you. Right now, it's happening. It's been speaking to you the whole time. You go home, they keep speaking to you. Some of you have been, for real, this is real. Some of you, they've been speaking to you for years or decades. It's. I've been doing this so long. I've seen so much, and this is just the way it works. Think of generational curses. You think, you know, let me ask you this. Have you ever been in a place of really severe depression, and then you walk into a church, and it's like, woohoo! And then you walk out of the church, and you're depressed again. It doesn't work that way. The devil doesn't let go just because you walk into a church. He doesn't let go just because you pray. He doesn't let go just because someone prays for you. Sometimes it's a pretty intense thing. Mostly, you've got to break agreement with what he's doing. The point I'm making is if we don't pray, if we don't develop this lifestyle, all of these people out there that we're called to, all the Branson, the revival that we want to see come to Branson, all of the people out there, they will remain demonized. As how she put it, they'll remain hell chained. Why? Because we have not developed the life that we need to develop to see them set free. Now, the prophetic, living a lifestyle of prayer. You know, the prophetic changes everything. It changes the way that you pray. It changes the way you minister to people. It changes the way that you engage with people. It changes everything. Because now God is continually speaking. He's continually breathing through you. He's continually talking to you. We absolutely do not, here we go, we do not want a bunch of Christians spouting off with their opinions on culture, the times we're living in, the church, or anything else, and slapping God's name on it. We don't want that. We don't want to embrace a political spirit with all of our great ideas and just slap God's name on it. I believe, especially as we enter this new election cycle, we need truly prophetic people that are hearing God's voice. We don't need another right-wing podcaster spouting off about what he believes is going on in the world. We need prophets. We need men and women of God that are hearing what God's saying. You know, here we are in Branson. We want to see revival break out. What's the underlying? What's the underbelly of Branson? What's going on? We need prophetic people that can see this stuff going on a more personal level. You all need to be able to prophesy and speak into one another. What are you seeing? You know, what's going on? I'll tell you, man, this thing gets a whole lot easier when we become more prophetic. And now, you know, you might see someone else walk in. It's like, I'm seeing that you're struggling. And this is what the Lord's sharing. And he has this word for you. And boom, you encourage the heck out of them because God speaks through you. I mean, this could become very, 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 very normal. You know, when I was in every place I've ever been in ministry, you know, there's this one gal who was on my leadership team in Colorado. And she was real eccentric, like good eccentric. There's bad eccentric. Don't be that. Drive me crazy. But there's good eccentric, in the church. And she would all the time. She'd pray over Amy and me, and her husband was there, and she'd come up to me and she'd go like this. I knew I was gonna surprise you, but turn around. That's what she'd go. And she would break off all of the darts and the arrows that people would shoot at me, and the enemy would shoot at me, right? Through witchcraft and gossip or whatever. And she literally had my back, and it was amazing. And she would prophetically see things. And so we'd be doing that. And she's like, this is what the Lord's saying. And I had a dream about you. And this is what was going on in the dream. This is what God's. And I'd be like, you just encouraged the snot out of me. I'm snotless. It's awesome. I love it. Do it again. See, that only happens in the prophetic. I mean, how awful. And there's churches out there and whole denominations out there that are no prophetic. They're hopeless when it comes to encouraging each other. You know, what do they do? Oh, you're looking good today. The Lord loves you. God bless you. Right? That's it. But it's totally different. God showed me this, and he's working in this. And then you're like, wow. Or especially when, there was this guy. It was hilarious. Again, in Colorado. And he was really, really nice guy. Really hesitant to go to church. His son was connected. His grown son. He was an older man a little bit. And boy, he was just, I'll peek in. I'll come every now and then kind of thing. Well, one day I prophesied this. I said, I see you sitting on your bed in your underwear. I saw that. I know. I saw that. He was a dude. I mean, it was safe. And I said, and I see you. You sit on your bed often just wondering where God is. That one prophetic word, without any exaggeration, completely and entirely transformed his entire life. I'm not talking about his day. I mean, he was in tears and stunned. How did you know that? How did you know that? Every night when I'm getting ready to go to bed, I get undressed and I'll sit there alone, and I'll sit there in my underwear on my bed, and I will wonder where God is. He transformed in a moment. I mean, to a firebrand. Someone who's like, obviously God loves me. Obviously he sent this messenger to speak into my life, right? You can't deny that God's moving in those moments. The prophetic is powerful. But we need to do it well. We need to do it right. The Bible says, Amos 3:7, for the Lord does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. You know, this is why, guys, this is why, you know, that even this, as I talked about a little bit, the style of worship. If I had a rockin', amazing, anointed band right now, would I take them? I might. I don't know. Maybe, or maybe I wouldn't. But the reason we do worship the way we're doing it is because I'm trying to nurture an atmosphere that's prophetic, where it's not just a sing-along, but where we don't even have to read the words. We don't have to sing the words. We don't have to know what they're saying. Sometimes we can't understand exactly what they're singing. Doesn't matter. But in fact, now we don't have to worry about that. Now we're just locked in, and we're loving Jesus, and we're allowing the Holy Spirit to move, and we're hearing his voice, and he's moving in our hearts, and we're getting to know him, and we're responding, and we're praying, and we're decreeing and declaring. And you know, that's the atmosphere that we need here. That's what, during worship, during prayer, during all of that, we need that. We must pray in response to what God is saying and doing. Our intercession must be fueled by the revelation of God's heart at that moment. 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Everyone in this room has been given the ability, the gift, to prophesy, every single one of you. Everyone. I mean, with, and you start out, young as a Padawan, right? You start out like, how the heck do I do this? Is this even God? And then you learn, you grow, you make mistakes, you grow. It's like, and then all of a sudden, boom, you're speaking simple things like someone sitting in this underwear on the, and you're like transforming lives, right? God's called you to be a prophetic person. I want to share this story. Last week, I shared kind of a prophetic timeline. Those of you that were here, you remember that? And just kind of what took us from Colorado to Kansas City and International House of Prayer, and then to Detroit, and all of the God stuff and all the prophetic stuff that was happening. I saved one story right in the middle of all that for today. We remember Mike Bickle was there, and he invited us into leadership at IHOP, and it was a dramatic moment. And so then we started leading Intro to IHOP, one of the four primary internships there at IHOP. And we were excited. It was the very first, it was orientation day, the very first day. I think it was an evening, actually. And so we were there getting ready, and all these students from all over the world and all over the nation were coming in. And I'm saying hi to people. And well, all of a sudden, there's this young lady comes through the door. Boom. God just strikes me with a prophetic word. I drop everything I'm doing. I go right over to her. And I said, hi, I'm John. I want you to know the Lord just spoke to me about you. And he said, you're going to get healed during this internship. Her name's Julia. I had no idea. She was a bit blown away by that. She desperately wanted to take part in this internship, 3 months, 7 days a week, no breaks. Intense. You're spending hours in the prayer room, spending hours in ministry, spending hours in class every single day. She knew, because of her health condition, she had lupus, that there was no way that she could do it. She knew it. She so desperately wanted to. She was on the airplane flying in tears because the pain was so severe. And she said, as she was on the airplane, God, I'm turning around. I'm going home. I can't do it. She's telling me this story. And the Lord speaks to her. Said, Julia, if you trust me and you go, I'm going to heal you during the internship. That was before I prophesied over her. I had no idea she had any medical condition at all. So the internship starts, and it's kicking her butt. It's horrible for her. She couldn't do it. It was too difficult. In fact, she reminds me of a time when she had a class this particular day led by another teacher, and I was out in the hall doing some other things, and she came out to the hall, and she said, oh, John, I can't do it. Is it okay if I go home and rest? And she got so mad at me because I'm like, nope, get in there. I made her turn right back around. And it was a class on healing, by the way. And she was so mad at me, but she did. She went back in. Some time goes by, and we have something called a prep room, or they do at IHOP. You go into a very, very small room with about 12 other people. Very small. I mean, I'm talking like a closet. And you smell everybody, and it's hot, and you pray in tongues nonstop for 1 hour. So that's part of what we had to do, or what the students had to do. So she goes in there, and she's praying in tongues, in severe pain. Right in the middle of that hour, out of nowhere, she says it like this. She said, I was instantly healed, but my body didn't know how to decipher the healing because I've been in pain my whole adult life. My body didn't know how to register painlessness. And it was the most confusing and wonderful moment of my life. It was in that moment that Julia was dramatically healed. She turned in to an absolute fire-breathing machine. Put that, there's a slide, Jet. That's her on the right, bottom right. That's our rock star photo. That's when we went, I gathered all my top folks that I knew, and we went to Colorado on a prayer assignment. I gathered people from Michigan, gathered people from Kansas City, and went to Michigan, and to Colorado. And that was a picture that we took. That girl on the top right, she followed us down here. Her name's Jill, 8 years ago. And we didn't feel led to start a ministry up until recently. She went back home to Michigan. She just emailed me yesterday and said that she has this longing to get back here. I think it would be amazing. She's another fire breather. I mean, you talk about groaning and crying out and leading in intercession. You can put that back up. That simple prophetic word, God's going to heal you during this internship, changed her whole life, entire life. Prophecy is absolutely critical. Prayer that isn't infused by the Spirit of prophecy is doomed. It really is. We must learn how to receive revelation. It's a huge topic that, you know, I can't summarize it here. This is just a quick kind of a peek into this idea of living a prophetic life. However, we need to know that God is talking and the things he's saying are weighty. And our job is to receive the transmission and respond accordingly. Let me read this to you. This is my favorite revelation regarding prophetic intercession. Revelation 1:10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Do that. Just do that. Just do that all the time. This is the day the Lord has made. So this is the Lord's day. Every day, be in the Spirit. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. I'm guaranteeing you right now, if you live your life in the Spirit, if you're in the Spirit, you're going to hear his voice. 1,000,000%, you're going to hear his voice. We're called to live in the Spirit without ceasing. Revelation 1:12, it's so good. I love this. I've read this 1,000 times, preached it 1,000 times. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw 7 golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and a golden, just get this picture, it's incredible, a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes, come on, were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace. His voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand, he held 7 stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. Verse 17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me. Whew, that's my favorite part. All we have to do is be in the Spirit. I'm telling you, this is why you can't be going to certain movies, almost any movies. You can't be watching most TV. You can't be listening to most music. You can't. People get mad at me when I say that stuff. I get mad at me and live outside of a prophetic, just powerful life full of the unction of the Spirit of God. Go for it if that's what you want to do. But I'm telling you, if you want this, you can have it. You can have it. He can rest his hand on you. He can touch your heart. He can change your life. You can encounter him. You can experience him on a regular basis. You can be in that place. Man, when we receive revelation from God directly, everything changes dramatically. 1 Corinthians 2:10 says, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. You have to be in the Spirit if you want to receive the deep things of God. You have to be in the Spirit if you want to receive the deep things of God. There's no other way to do it. None. No other way. You've got to be with him. You've got to know him. You've got to go deep. You can't stand with one foot in the sand and one foot in the water. You've got to go deep. You've got to go deep. You've got to go deep. There was a movie long time ago. What was it called? The Abyss, a long time ago. And I don't recommend it. I don't think it's an appropriate movie, but a long time ago. I just remember it. And I remember part of the movie, in order for them to survive, they were diving so deep that they actually had to breathe liquid oxygen. They had so there would pressurize inside their body. That's what we need. We need to breathe the Spirit of God. If we want to go deep, we're gonna have to breathe different. We're gonna have to look different. Everything changes, guys. You know, I sat out, you know, like I was telling you, I go to Silver Dollar City a lot. And my laptop, and I work and I pray. And I was sitting there. In fact, I was talking to Amy a little bit, and I'm like, and I'm just, God, I'm just being real with him. Is this Revival X thing gonna work? I know it's you. I know it's you. I'm just having a real raw conversation with him. Because I knew what was really going on inside of me was, it'll never work unless we go deep. It's not supposed to work. It's not supposed to work like a normal church. It's not supposed to work like a, you know, just like a casual kind of a gathering. It's not supposed to. And I just knew that. And I just even feel him saying, John, it won't work. I feel the pressure on me. John, if you can't lead people well enough to get them into the deep, it won't work. It's not supposed to work. It's like, I don't want another one of those churches right now. Not through you. It's not supposed to work. You've got to take them deep. And I'm blessed that you guys are hungry for that. There's others out there. I'll tell you this. There are other people out there, and like I've said, I don't care if my guess, we'll never get over 100, 120 people. I don't care about that stuff. But I do believe there's another handful of people out there that they're desperate to find God in a way they've never been able to find him. They've never been able to experience him. They've never been able to feel the revival, the weighty revival glory of God. They've never, and they're yearning, they're craving it. And I also believe there are others out there. They hate God with a passion. They hate him. They hate him. In Branson, they're everywhere. They hate God. I'm not being dramatic. They hate God. A lot of them. There's a lot of them that they hate God. Because the only God that they've known is a powerless religious zealot. They've never met the Spirit of God. They've never heard a prophetic word. Can you imagine somebody? Can you imagine the drag queens have been a topic here in Branson. Bring a drag queen that's halfway through his transition from male to female, and he hates God, and he grew up with all sorts of terrible things happening, walking through that door, and all of a sudden, one prophetic word. I see you, God's showing me you sitting on your bed in your underwear. And that's all it took. Transformed. Do you understand how powerful and important the prophetic is? Ooh, man, I'm about to cry. I just feel God's love on this thing right now. I stand up. Whew. I need you guys to give me permission. I need you to give me permission with a heart of deep love to be a little direct with you guys. I need you to feel my heart on this. I felt convicted, convicted, I guess. You know, there's a tendency, anybody who leads a ministry, there's a tendency to soften just a little bit. And I felt God just really convict me. He's like, John, don't ever compromise what I'm telling you to say, ever. And I need you to give me, and I think it's cool. Because to get you, and I hope you don't feel like I'm speaking down to you. I, boy, I want you to know something, guys. I struggle, and I'm not saying that just to, I do. I wake up in the morning talking to God, like, God, help me with, help, what's going on? I want you to know I'm with you on this. Where I want to go where I feel God leading me, I want to go with you. I want you all to come. Jet, you can, I don't know what number it is. I forgot to tell you. Find a nice slow song. They're so anointed. Yeah, that's good. That'll drive out demons and get people to prophesy. Come on, if you, God's ramping it up every week. If you're at a point right now where you're saying, all right, forget it. I don't care about all of this stuff that I've been hanging on to. I don't care about my issues anymore. I'm sick of it. I've got to get to that place where I really am living in the Spirit. And I'm not going to leave there. I'm giving up my life. I'm giving up my stuff. Giving up friends, maybe. Giving up job, maybe. Giving up whatever, maybe. Giving up. I'm giving it up. I don't care. Giving up my pride. Giving up my issue. Giving up my unbelief. Giving up my anger. Giving up my excuses. Giving up my accusations against God. Giving up. Giving it up. And you're ready to break through into an absolute overcoming life of a firebrand. If this is you, some of you would be like, I'm okay. You're okay. You don't have to come up. For real. If you're in a good place, you're in a good place. But you're like, I'm not in a good place. It's time. And I want you to get out of your seat right now. Just stand up in the front. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. Come on. I believe in prayer. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe in it. It's time. Your time of playing games is over. It's over. Your time, your strategies of trying to get God's attention done. You're just going full steam ahead. Come on. Lift your hands to the Lord. I want everyone of you, would you just please lift your hands to God? In Jesus' name. We declare that the old is passing away. It's done. It's done. I feel the young people, the Lord's saying that you've got to put the games away. I'm not saying all games forever. This is a word. Quit playing games. You're not so young that you can't turn the world upside down. Your life is not about playing games. And that's especially for you. This is a moment the Lord's saying, you're growing up right now. Right now. You're growing up right now. Right now. Right now. Doesn't mean you can't have fun. Doesn't mean you can't, quote unquote, play games. God's saying, quit playing games. Quit messing around. It's time to get serious. In Jesus' name, I declare that this is a new day. A brand new day. Old things pass away, all things become new in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God, give her wisdom. Hora, come on, pray in the Spirit. Hora pati anti hi anda da 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 di anda. Come on. Whoo. Jesus. Come on, more, more, more. In the name of Jesus, come on. God's called you to be a leader. I mean, he has. You can fight it or doubt it. That doesn't matter. The calling is real. You're not there yet, and that's okay. You're not there. It's all right. But he's saying, I need you to sign up. He wants to take you into a school of the Spirit, a school of leadership. And he's gonna show you what that is. In your mind right now, it's probably not correct. He's gonna show you what it is. and you're going to start impacting people's lives really quick, really quick. And they're going to start looking to you as a leader. Your mind is like, well, I'm not a leader. You're going to be impacting people. They're going to be following you. And it's very serious because you don't want to lead them the wrong way. You got to go deeper than you've ever gone. You got to be more intense than you've ever been. In the name of Jesus, God, you have called this man of God to transform a lot of people. A lot of people. I pray he would feel the weight of this. God, that he would know in Jesus' name that he can't play games, can't play around, can't be casual, can't be slow. God, he has got to be responsive to what you're saying and doing. Holy Spirit, more, more, more in Jesus' name. You're going to be good. Thank you, Jesus. God, I pray, Lord, that she would just be, I keep getting the word remarkable, 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 remarkable. There's barriers that the enemy has tried to place in your life. And it's all in here. And the way that you might think about yourself, or the way that, I don't know, maybe the way someone you know sees you, or you feel lacking in ability, whatever. I feel the Lord saying that you're going to real quick and real fast punch through those excuses and those issues and those barriers. You're going to be remarkable. You are remarkable. And you're going to be the person God created you to be. And you're not going to worry about all of this stuff and all of the critiques and the critical words and all the stuff that gets so many people down. You're like, ha, you're going to laugh it off. You're going to be alive and free and joyful. I see self-esteem is not going to be an issue. Has it been an issue? Kind of. Do you want to be completely free of that? Easy, easy. It's going to be easy. In Jesus' name. She doesn't have to worry about that anymore. She's remarkable. Remarkable. Absolutely stunning, amazing, incredible. In Jesus' name, I just break off all low self-esteem, hurtful words, anything that might have happened. And I declare that she is simply going to dance and rejoice and smile a lot. And people are going to be just so transformed because they're going to be like, where do you get that kind of joy in life? And I just even seen you be a little weird in a good way. And they're like, you don't even care about any of this stuff and you're free and alive. And they're going to want what you have. And it's just going to be Jesus exploding out of you. Amen? Amen. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, come on. God, there, and I've sensed it so many times. There's such an indwelling, just an anointing, a strength. God, I pray right now, God, that there would be such a release. Feel the Lord saying that there are things that you've been like really on a personal level, craving for a long time. I think it's even to do with maybe the way you think or struggles for a long, long time. And you wanted to break through that. And God's saying now is the time for that to be resolved. Whatever that is, in Jesus' name, it's time for that to be resolved. New creation. Just brand new, just brand new. I feel there's going to be people that are going to look at you and like, who the heck are you? So different, so free. And a whole bunch of stuff that used to get you down, it's not going to get you down anymore. It's not. And I see that very, very clearly. I see a list of things. If you could write it down right now, this gets me down, all of this stuff. And I see the list is crumpled and thrown. It's just not going to get you down. I see freedom. Really good freedom. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Revival X with John Burton. You can access media, read articles, and partner with the ministry at revivalx.tv. And share this podcast with those who are hungry for revival, reformation, and revolution.